Why today?
Some senators are escalating the push for the Prez to grant McChrystal's request for more troops in Afghanistan. The debate is raging like a California wildfire. Health insurance, the tug of war continues. Meanwhile, Nobel Prize. The president gets it heading into the weekend, and there's lots of water cooler buzz and opinions about whether or not President Obama should have received the Nobel Peace Prize. You can go to AmericaTonight.net. I've blogged about my feelings about it, and I'll talk about it. We'll bundle it all up, just like AT&T and all those guys do. We're going to bundle it up for you here on America Tonight. Hope you had a great weekend, whatever you did this weekend. Maybe you have tomorrow off Columbus Day. Maybe not. It used to be everybody had it off. Now it seems it's sort of hit or miss depending on where you work, whether you get the day off. Christopher Columbus Day sailing off the calendar for most people. I asked my little nephew, do you have off Christopher Columbus Day? He's 7. Who's Christopher Columbus? Get the point? Coming up, we're going to talk about how churches are struggling these days with Joe Suggs from Findom. But first, the Nobel Prize, as I mentioned, on the Sunday Swirl, that was part of the roundtables, whether you tuned into NBC or CBS or ABC or CNN or Fox or anywhere, everybody had an opinion. We're going to let you hear some of those opinions coming up a little bit later in this hour. But first, here was what the president said when he woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning to find out that he had gotten the Nobel Peace Prize.
I am both surprised and deeply humbled by the decision of the Nobel Committee. Let me be clear, I do not view it as a recognition of my own accomplishments, but rather as an affirmation of American leadership on behalf of aspirations held by people in all nations. To be honest, I do not feel that I deserve to be in the company of so many of the transformative figures who've been honored by this prize, men and women who've inspired me and inspired the entire world through their courageous pursuit of peace. But I also know that this prize reflects the kind of world that those men and women and all Americans want to build, a world that gives life to the promise of our founding documents. And I know that throughout history, the Nobel Peace Prize has not just been used to honor specific achievement, it's also been used as a means to give momentum to a set of causes. And that is why I will accept this award as a call to action, a call for all nations to confront the common challenges of the 21st century.
All right, so you can hear that he was obviously surprised, and, you know, what happens is when you get the Nobel Prize, you also get $1.5 million. Obama, for the record, said he was going to dish it out among a bunch of charities, so he's not going to keep it because of the prize money, obviously. So there's massive, I think, astonishment that still carries on a couple days later as more people who kind of went into hibernation over the weekend didn't hear it late on Friday or missed it somehow. When it was announced originally in Oslo, people that were there to hear the announcement of the Nobel Prize were stunned. You could hear the gasps in the audience. They were clearly surprised about it. So what does it mean that Obama got this clearly what used to be such a prestigious award? You think of the people who have gotten it, and then you think of the people who have been nominated that never got it, like Gandhi, a man of peace and sacrifice. 5 times nominated, never got the Nobel Prize. Now, a lot of people think what the president should have done was just simply rejected the award and, you know, thrashed, I guess, vocally the committee for prematurely honoring him. You think of this. We have Iraq. We have Afghanistan. What's the deal with Gitmo? Gitmo was supposed to close in January. No way is it going to close in January. So what is it that Obama's done that, you know, makes him the guy who gets this award? And the answer to that, many people think, is this is because of the Bush years. So, hey, you know, Bush, he was all about access of evil. And, you know, I've heard this from Europeans and others. And now look at this president. This president is reaching across to us. Nothing has happened. No policy. None of that has happened since Obama's become president. He's been in the job 10 months. Frankly, like I said, I was completely stunned and thought it was some kind of a morning show prank because I heard it on radio at first. And I thought, this is a funny bit. They're trying to do a funny bit here, but it was no funny bit. Obama gets the Nobel. You can certainly throw in your 2 cents on that. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Remember, Yasser Arafat also got the Nobel Peace Prize. So keep that in the back of your mind. Maybe the definition of the prize is been manipulated to mean different things these days than it used to mean. Also something that happened over the weekend, I'm going to seg into this for a quick second, because I've never seen, in all my years, even when I was a TV reporter, whatever, covering crime, I have never, ever, and this is radio, I have never seen such crazy video. Out of Toledo, Ohio, they had a weird, wild, almost Wild West-like shootout. And it was caught on a surveillance camera, I guess. There were 5 gunmen that sent people running out of a bar near the University of Toledo. Probably a lot of students were in there. I cannot believe nobody was injured. I think they fired off everything in their guns. It was in and outside a place called the Route 66 Kitchen in Toledo. Lasted for a couple of minutes. Happened late Thursday night. Footage was released late on Friday. And it's 3 minutes that they basically, I think, captured here. And this is a crowded bar, and somehow something happens, some sort of incident or scuffle happens, where you have people pulling out guns and firing across the room. And then you can see someone outside of the bar firing a gun inside of the bar. Can you imagine this? And I cannot believe nobody was even nicked in this. They said 17 shell casings were found on the ground at the bar, and at the front door, it was just riddled with bullet holes. Either they were just all terrible shots, or they were purposely missing, I don't know, or couldn't see what they were doing. Now, supposedly, they've uncovered the reason why. I was dying all weekend to find out what the deal was. And what happened was the fight broke out when a bar employee asked a guy who was trying to sell some pot to leave. He just said, you know, get out of here. And he was trying to get people to pick up the doobies he had rolled and some of the pot that he was just freely selling. So police are still looking for suspects. Still, as of this hour, no arrests have been made that I know of. And they say they don't believe any students were involved in the shootout, but students were in the bar. Oh, that's a scary thing. Call up your parents to check in after the weekend. Yo, pops. Guess what? You're not going to believe it. Yeah, everything's great in school. Doing well so far in history, yeah. Yeah, Econ 1's going good. Economics 101, yeah, yeah. But I was in this bar, and all of a sudden everybody starts pulling out weapons and shooting, and I just hit the deck. I mean, it is crazy, crazy stuff. Old West, Wild West, whatever you want to call it. I mean, Cowboy City. And here it was right there on the outskirts of the University of Toledo, all over some pot. Wow. Coming up next, we're going to talk about churches and their struggles to sustain during these rough economic times. Hang with us.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine steam-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's air and A-Q-U-A, aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirandAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Idas Resources. October 9th, 2009. Gold opened this morning at 10:51:20. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 10.80.36, 5.40.19 for a half ounce, or 2.70.10 for a quarter ounce. That's 10.80.36, 5.40.19, or 2.70.10.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes to service the debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
It was the day of worship for many across the land, obviously in churches on the east, the west, and everywhere in between, just like America tonight. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with you. Joining us now, Joe Suggs from Findom. We were talking about what's going on with churches these days and funds. How are they holding up? Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well, Kate. How are you doing this evening?
I am fantastic. Couldn't be any better. You know, In talking about churches, it's an interesting question, especially in the South. You see that there's a lot of mega churches. How do churches sustain themselves when things are rough economically?
Well, churches and ministries all kind of function a little bit differently. But what I see over and over again is that most of these churches and most ministries are really funded from donations that come in either through the tithes and offerings in their congregation, or they're out looking for other ways of people to leave legacies on their behalf.
So what is it, like, talk about Findom, or talk about what people can do in regards to churches and ministries that are trying to keep those doors open that we're mentioning.
Well, you know, the big thing that I see right now, ABC News had a column here over the past few days. I don't remember exactly what day it was, but they were talking about how the economic state of churches and ministries is going to be so much different on the other side of this recession. When you look at really any nonprofit, for the most part, not just churches or ministries, although that's what we're talking about right now, the financials of those ministries or of those organizations, many times they live in hand to mouth. So they're living so much from the donation of those dollars coming in to immediately going out the door. Well, what happens is when you get into a recessionary time like we're in right now, well, the people that would normally give to that organization, their own budgets are tight. they don't have the money that they once had to be able to give to that organization. And now when times are as tough as they are and people need these ministries or need these organizations more than they ever have before, those dollars aren't there. And so, you know, what we do and what other organizations out there are trying to do is reach out to these guys and say, listen, there are resources available, there are opportunities available, and depending on the circumstance of what they're dealing with, there are ways to help. But, you know, what you see over and over again is that it's a mindset that everybody's caught up in.
So if somebody was listening to us and they say, okay, well, I know a great church that's really struggling, what does Joe mean? What can I do, or what can Findom do, or what can other people do?
Well, you know, I think that from a Findom perspective, obviously somebody can always contact me either by email at joe@findom.com. That's J-O-E at findom.com, F-I-N-D-O-M.com. Or they could always call the office at the office number, and I'd be glad to talk to them anytime. But more importantly than that, really, the way that they can help their congregations, or if they are a minister in and of themselves, we've got to start focusing as a church on a few different components. We need to understand that we are a community. One of the challenges that I've heard a lot is that churches are struggling because the people that are in their congregation are going to they're having to move because of their own work or because of whatever. And so, you know, I think that it's important to understand that as a community, they are still going to get plugged in someplace. And, you know, simultaneously, I think that, you know, as a church and as a community of believers, we need to understand that we need to start preparing a little bit better for the future, just like individually, we are looking towards things. I heard you before the break talking about the current administration and some of the things that are going on there. It's interesting to me that one of the promises that's been made by the Obama administration is that he's going to take away the tax credits that go towards people who are donating to nonprofit organizations and the challenges that that's going to create.
And it's going to create a lot because then people with abundant wealth, but people that, let's say, are upper middle class or even people that don't have necessarily a lot of money that normally would be able to do that, they're having to take a step back, especially if they don't get the tax credits, because that certainly helps them to make that a reality. That will be a tough thing, I think, for many of the ministries that we're talking about to continue to do some of the fundraising things. I mean, they'll have them, but there'll be a lot of people that will drop out, just like we're seeing with nonprofits across the board. I mean, some of the big nonprofits are struggling, Joe, and some of them that are just out there and new and doing okay are struggling too, right?
Well, I agree. I think that the biggest paradigm shift that needs to take place right now is from the concept of I need money to the concept of how can I help? And, you know, sometimes these ministries and organizations have, you know, quite honestly lost focus of, you know, what they're really there to do. And that is there to help people or to minister to people or to accomplish whatever it is that their mission is. And in doing so, if we can teach them or we could show them how to engage with the businesses or the individuals that are their constituents, whether those be in their congregation or whether those be people that are just, you know, sympathizers to their cause, then we are able to go in and help them kind of infuse that economic impact, which has a net effect that comes back to them. Because now all of a sudden when the businesses in your congregation thrive and the individuals in your congregation are thriving, well, now you no longer have an issue with dollars coming through to make an impact, because these are the people who believe in what you're doing. And I think that's the main thing we have to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. And people can go to findom.com and check out all the stuff that really some of it, what we're talking about here, you'll see that if you go through the website, some of the things that can happen and some of the things that nonprofits can do and ministries can do and businesses, frankly, we've talked about that before, that are looking for investment capital. Joe, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Kate.
All right, findom.com. Thank you. So it's what Joe said is so true about the tax credit thing. And you see with the nonprofits, I mean, like I mentioned to him, you're talking about some of the big nonprofits that are really, really taking it on the chin. And even somebody called me the other day about a charity. It's a charity that they do in Guatemala, but it's been around for, gosh, I want to say about 24, 25 years, and it's very successful, helps people in Guatemala make a living, teaches them things that they can do to sustain the family and whatnot. And they're struggling because normally the fundraisers they do, whether it's golf tournaments and tennis tournaments or dinners or whatever, they're finding that people aren't coming to them like they were in the past because they simply don't have the money. They don't have the spare money that they used to be able to write a check for, even if it was to play a round of golf in a tournament or whatever. And it's, like I said, the big boys and the small ones. And if you think about it, the idea of church is kind of like, you know, I grew up and went to Catholic school, and I remember when you'd get the bulletin, they called it the bulletin, and it would say, oh, pray for so-and-so, and so-and-so's ill, and this is happening, and whatever. And then on the back, you'd always have all these advertisers. They had all these ads because they were supporting the church, whatever it was, the local paint company or the delicatessen down the street, or they were different parishioners. And so that was the whole idea, that people would go to those places and then they would flourish and it would be the thing that would come back, obviously, to the church. But like Joe said, people are struggling with that more and more and more. And now in this time when people are trying to figure out how are they going to sustain themselves. Boy, it's a brutal time for that. Oof, brutal time. All right, coming up around the bend, we're going to let you hear what Liz Cheney had to say on reaction to Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize. She isn't the only one. Bill Kristol had some thoughts on it, too. And then we'll let you hear what some of the others had to say, like Donna Brazile, who was very positive, obviously, on Obama getting this prize. Kind of mixed reaction. There's some that feel, well, it's for futuristic things. It's because he's promoting peace. You even have Hugo Chavez, who at one time embraced Obama as saying he did nothing to deserve it. And then you have the Nobel Committee themselves defending the Obama choice because they took so many hits for choosing him for 2009, saying it was premature and politically biased to hand it to Obama. And their whole reason, they say, is because he's changed the international climate and contributed more than any other candidate to fraternity among nations. So we felt that this was something that he deserved, that he had hoped, that the award would help advance his agenda. So now they're giving the President of the United States an award because they hope that his peace agenda will be advanced because he's won a Nobel Prize. Wow, makes no sense to me whatsoever. How about you? 800-259-5791. Stay with us.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiANet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet spy products today. Because video never lies.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know that colon cancer is one of the most common forms of cancer in the U.S.? Did you know that the number one health problem patients complain to doctors about is gastrointestinal related? Health experts predict that almost every American will develop some type of colon disease, polyp, tumor, or cancer in their lifetime. If you suffer from constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, frequent gas, or other intestinal-related problems, You need to take action. That's why you need Temple Cleanse. Temple Cleanse is a unique colon cleanser that works by delivering oxygen and magnesium to the intestinal system to stimulate a gentle yet effective cleanse. It's the most effective colon cleanse product on the market and one of the best decisions you can make for your health. To learn more and to order your very own supply of Temple Cleanse, visit healthtruthrevealed.com. That's healthtruthrevealed.com. Or call 1-800-593-6273. That's 1-800-593-6273 today.
Berkey Water Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration available on the market. The revolutionary Berkey Light self-sterilizing and recleanable purification elements purify water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and by extracting harmful chemicals such as herbicides, pesticides, VOCs, organic solvents, radon 222, and trihalomethanes. They also reduce nitrates, nitrites, sediment, and unhealthy minerals such as lead and mercury. As an authorized dealer for over 4 years serving thousands of satisfied customers, we offer amazing specials for Berkey Light water systems. Order the Berkey Light system today and we'll include two black Berkey elements and three sport Berkey water bottles for only $209 with free shipping. That's right, free shipping and three sport Berkey water bottles and $89 value free for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 877-886-3653 now to order. That's the Berkey guy at 877-886-3653. Or visit our website at directive21.com.
You've heard the Get the Tea commercials, and many people like our commercials, but I did notice something. What the heck is a toxin? So, here it is. A toxin is a poisonous substance that is capable of causing disease when introduced into the body. Formaldehyde, from seat cushions and particle board. How about carbon monoxide, furnace-burning propane, butane, disinfectants, perfume, mouthwash, glues, air fresheners, pesticides. Oh my gosh, even sugar is a toxin, according to Dr. Lau. It's a very addictive drug. It's time to fight back. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can get your trusty cell phone out and call us at 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. And put in your order today. Lose weight, feel good, and be free of all these toxins. GetTheTea.com.
All right, so Afghanistan hangs in the balance, and we keep ticking away time. Why do you send McChrystal over there, put all your eggs in that basket, say that this is the war we need to be in, and then you don't approve the troops? Well, the reason is because you have no strategy, you have no end game, so for goodness sake, then pull everyone out of there, because you cannot play the middle in this game. I do not understand why the president keeps sitting on this. 800-259-5791. Plus, obviously, the Nobel Peace Prize. Yes, indeed. Obama was awarded the prize on Friday. Some applaud the move and think it's a cutting-edge thing for the committee to do. I think it's ridiculous, premature, and completely unfounded, because what has he done for peace? Flowery speeches, yes, Europeans love him, others around the world, but what ultimately does it add up to? Possibly futuristic giant peace movement, the end of nukes, everybody holding hands and singing kumbaya? No. You might disagree, you might agree. You can flip me an email, americatonight.net, or, again, hit those digits. Let's go to Mark, who's listening to us in New York. Hello, Mark.
Kate, first of all, I owe you an apology because about a month ago I said you deserved the Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah, you know where I'm going with that. But if we could just talk about the churches for a minute, because I happen to be an ordained minister myself.
Sure.
There's a lot of issues out there that are not being said. Let's talk about the old church. Now, churches, if you remember, they doubled as schoolhouses, and then the government took that over.
Right.
Churches used to double as boarding houses for children-in-law, and the state took that over. And hospitals were ran by churches years and years ago, and then the government took them over. And then if you go to a soup kitchen or a food shelf, a pantry, they're all co-op now. And if you go into one church, it's all computerized, and you say you need help. They ask your name and social security number. And if you were at another church, they refuse you. And most of the a lot of the food that comes to these food shelves is from the state. Okay, Kate? And another problem you have is young kids within the next 15 or 20 years, they have no denomination at all.
Yes.
See, I work the streets. I don't have a building or anything like that. I work on the streets, and I go to people's houses and try to do Bible study. But they know, and this is going to sound horrible, but they know that it's not the actual church that's going to do a thing for them. So I like to think that they're actually smartening up. But I always ask people one little question. What's the biggest church in America? And they usually say to me, oh, it's a Catholic church. I said, no, it's actually the government. Because if the president came out and all your governors and said, listen, people, we read every single one of your Bibles, and there's over 200 of them.
Right.
I mean, James Earl Jones has one. And Barack Obama says, you know what? And I believe every one of them, especially where it says, go to your God, he'll feed you, he'll clothe you, and he'll heal you. So as of today, there's no more housing, no more welfare, and no more Medicaid or Medicare. Mm-hmm. What will happen is the people will run to the church, and it's not even there anymore. These churches are closing up. They're becoming little antique shops. And what really hardens my heart is these big churches and doctrines and laws, too. You go into a church, and they hand you a piece of paper with their laws. And people are just tired of it. And the problem with these churches I have, and I spoke to a lot of chaplains and ministers, is after they get rid of you or make you feel bad, they never tell you where to go. So, yeah, really, honey. So
let me roll this back. So you think what's actually happening is that, see, I think for some people, they need to belong. They need to feel whole, Mark. They need to belong to something. And a lot of times the church is that place. And a lot of times the church, like different businesses, can thrive because, you know, parishioners or people that go to the Methodist church or the Lutheran church or whatever will help support those, you know, mom and pop stores, as we say, or whatever.
Right.
But you think that it's too, in some cases, some of the churches, their doctrines are too divisive, and then what's
happening is kids are... Their doctrines are becoming secular, sure.
Yeah.
They're in bed with the government, as horrible as that sounds. I have no problem with it. And every night when I get on my knees and pray, you know, I pray. I said, if I'm saying something wrong, you need to take my life tonight. You know, don't hurt nobody else. You hurt me. And
right.
I hear the same thing over and over. And a lot of these big churches, they send a plate around twice.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, and then I'll let you go, when Christ was going into the temple and that little lady, she threw whatever she had in that bucket. And Christ turned around and looked at all of them and said, I've never seen so much faith in all of Israel. Because she gave everything she had.
Right.
And, of course, that one rich guy, when he said to him, what do I got to do to get into your kingdom? He said, go home, sell everything you got, and give it to the poor. He didn't say all of us would do that, but when you ask a rhetorical question like that, you're going to get an answer like that. But I have to be honest with you, it would nice to have a whole show like this, but I blame the church, I'll be honest with you. I got kicked out of four of them myself just for asking questions that to explain. And everything's divided. It's too divided. You know, they'll carry around the King James Version of the Bible, and they won't read the Old Testament because they say it's Jewish. It's the church's fault, honey. It really is, because they became secular, and they really are. They're in bed with the government, unfortunately.
Mm. I think some of them are. I agree with you. There's some. I wouldn't say all churches, but I would say some, yes, depending on the denomination, depending on the type of church, you're right. And that's the problem. The problem is the divisiveness is part of it. And certainly, like you said, with younger people, they're turning away. A lot of them are turning away from that.
And again, I apologize about that. Nobel. I got to think of something else. I've been thinking all weekend. What am I going to call you? But you're just a great lady, Kate. Okay?
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Bye.
Take care. Yeah, Nobel Prize. Obama gets it, crazy as it is. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. It's interesting, though, what Mark brought up, and this was on the heels of talking to Joe about churches struggling, some churches struggling to keep their doors open, and he's saying how churches are divisive, and they're talking about the different doctrines, and that churches have a way of dividing people because I belong here or you belong here or whatever. I didn't grow up that way. I grew up with, luckily, a mother who was very open-minded, so I had all kinds of people around me, and I was just, you know, that's how I was raised. So I lived in a Jewish neighborhood. You had Catholics, you had Lutherans, you had Methodists, you had whatever. You didn't think twice about it, but I know that is different. There are certainly people that separate, and regardless, in what we were talking about with Joe, we're talking about nonprofits, which supposedly is what the churches are, and then you see some of those churches are struggling. So I wouldn't say that all churches are divisive. I would say, yes, sadly, there are some that are, and I would say that there are some that do incredibly good work and help people even outside of their parameters or whatever. They reach out to other people, and unfortunately, they're bearing the brunt of a lot of things, including the economy. Sam is listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Sam, you know this. Some temples, sadly, I've known many rabbis in my life, many wonderful rabbis. And,
of course, you're talking to the uncle of a wonderful rabbi.
I know. But you know that there are some temples where if you pay the most money, you get to sit in the front.
Yeah, I know. Like, I remember one time I bumped into a guy I hadn't seen in a long time from high school. I was with Steve. So he makes the big deal. Yeah, my family still sits 4 rows from the front during high holiday services. So then Steve says, excuse me, does that make you closer to God? Excuse me?
Right. Now, see, that was a good thing to say.
Yeah,
that was
that
a good comeback.
Yeah. I mean, Steve says, would you sit up front or way in the back in the, you know, in the section they just put up for high holiday services? Does that make that person in the back any closer to God than you?
Right.
So then he went, he looked at his watch, I got to go now.
Yeah, there's no comeback for that.
Right. And, and you were talking about, you know, and the previous caller was talking about, you know, how some churches are being turned into, like, stores and stuff. Here in Montreal, mm-hmm. What's unfortunately happening is that they're keeping the facade of a lot of churches because a lot of them, I mean, the architecture was, like, out of this world. They're keeping the facade and they're building condos behind them.
Really?
Yeah, that's what we need, more condos. The joke was when the Canadians were moving from the Forum to the Bell Center, at the time the Molson Center, the joke was they were going to turn it down and put up condos. A lot of people said, yeah, right.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Hey,
no.
let me throw this in before we let you slide. Canada's reaction to Obama getting the Nobel Prize. What did you hear in Canada?
Some people were happy. Other people were like, what did he do to deserve this? And as one person bluntly said on TV, what were they smoking?
Yeah, it is. I think it's odd. I understand the reason why, and because
right.
of what because they're trying to embrace Obama and the peace thing and how he's reaching out to other countries or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is we're into wars. He's only been president for 10 months. And if you really go by the definition of what the prize was supposed to mean,
yeah.
I don't think he fulfills the requirements. I don't think he thinks he fulfills the requirements based on what we heard him say. Slammin' Sammy, you have a good one.
By the way, your Phillies are winning.
I know they're winning 5-4 in the seventh.
Yo, you're watching the game too?
I've got my eye on the little game cast, yes. Thanks for bringing that up.
Thanks.
Take care.
Yep.
All right, see, it's interesting that he brought that up because I was going to tell you, coming up later, we'll let you know if anybody nailed the score when it comes to football. We had our game of the week. The Philadelphia Phillies had an odd on weather with snow and horrible weather in Denver delayed their Saturday night game. They're playing in awful cold temperatures at Coors Field. And they are leading 5-4 in the going into the, well, they're in the top of the seventh, but shortly going into the bottom of the seventh. Stay with us. More to come here on America Tonight.
C-97. Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try liquid zeolite today.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting eCigarettesNational.com. That's the letter E, CigarettesNational.com. eCigarettesNational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
Do you have trouble getting through the day? Do you feel tired and worn out? Pounding expensive energy drinks? It's a proven fact. Many people do not get the proper daily intake of essential vitamins and nutrients. With the lifestyles we lead, eating fruits and vegetables is sometimes easier said than done. Introducing Choose 4 Health. Choose 4 Health brings you 16 powerful ingredients in one delicious chewable for around 75 cents per day. Each chewable contains a full day's worth of the necessary fruit and vegetable intake you need. Choose 4 Health also contains antioxidants and vitamin B12 to give you that extra boost to curb midday cravings for snacks, energy drinks, and coffee. Call 1-800-210-1922 right now and you will receive a 1 week supply of Choose 4 Health absolutely free. Just pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-210-1922. That's 1-800-210-1922. Or visit orderchews.com. That's order, C-H-E-W-S.com. Start your healthy lifestyle now.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me, and I will write you a song. Come away with me on a bus. Come away where they can't tempt us with their lies. I want to walk with you on a cloudy day in fields where the yellow grass grows knee high. So won't you try? Come away with me and we'll kiss on a mountaintop. Come away with me.
All right, so if you stick around next hour, we'll tell you whether anybody nailed the score or not in this week in the NFL, week five in the NFL. If you're a sports fan, can you believe how fast this season is going? It's flying by, let me tell you. And I would love to have a winner. I'm not going to tell you until we get to that segment, though, whether we had a winner or not. I know there's a lot of people waiting with bated breath to figure out if if in fact somebody did. Of course, if you did nail the score, don't call us live on the air. Call Matt Johnson, the maestro of the controls, and we'll call you back. Let's just put it that way, okay? Some interesting finishes, too, and we'll get to that. Speaking of finishing, boy, it's like he's finishing before he's even opened up. What must it be like to be Barack Obama and be the anointed one? I think in this case, honestly, I don't think he necessarily wanted the Nobel Prize, and it sounds so odd to say that. But the choice of Obama, I mean, just in their choice, this is certainly, this has to be one of the most controversial choices for certainly a long time. Now, there have been others that have been contentious. Obviously, Yasser Arafat was one. And Yitzhak Rabin and Shimon Peres as well, if you remember that. The three of them, very controversial. And also the Dalai Lama was chosen in 89, and that was pretty controversial. But this one, this really takes the cake, I think, because he's only been president for 10 months, and he was nominated, in fact, barely when he had been president. I mean, first Obama's a junior senator, and jumps up to, out of nowhere, to run for president, gets the presidency, and now he gets a Nobel Prize, and he hasn't been president for very long. I mean, you know, where is the peace in the peace process? Okay, the speeches, I guess the travel, that sort of stuff. But from what I understand of the Nobel Prize, it's what I thought the definition was. It doesn't make sense to me. And I guess you could look at the committee and the way they slant, I guess. You know, the annual prize, so you know, is a very secretive 5-member vote. And it is appointed by the Norwegian, the five people are appointed by the Norwegian parliament. So that's, you know, that's what the deal is. Now you have some that are a little more liberal, apparently, that get the vote, and some that are a little more right. But that regardless of all of that, I thought it was supposed to be on the merits and how they decided the prize. So anyway, a lot of different opinions flying around on the Sunday shows, as I said. I thought we would give you a little kaleidoscope glimpse for a few minutes into how one went down. This was Bill Kristol and Liz Cheney and their thoughts on Obama and the Nobel.
I think the president himself understands he didn't earn this prize. And I think, therefore, the notion that, as the White House has said, he would go to Oslo to accept the prize would just sort of add to the farce. But I do think that he could send a real signal here. I think what he ought to do, frankly, is send the mother of a fallen American soldier to accept the prize on behalf of the U.S. military. And frankly, to send the message to remind the Nobel Committee that each one of them sleeps soundly at night because of the U.S. Armed Forces, because the U.S. military is the greatest peacekeeping force in the world today. So he ought to take an opportunity to send that kind of message. I think what the committee believes is they'd like to live in a world in which America is not dominant. And I think if you look at the language of the citation, you can see that they talk about, you know, President Obama ruling in a way that makes sense to the majority of the people of the world. You know, Americans don't elect a president to do that. We elect a president to defend our national interests. And so I think that, you know, they may believe that President Obama also doesn't agree with American dominance, and they may have been trying to affirm that belief with the prize. I think, unfortunately, they may be right, and I think it's a concern.
And it's hard for me to be objective about this because I'm so disappointed personally. I was up early Friday morning. I thought the phone might ring, you know. Pundits for Peace. I think pundits have been underrepresented by the Peace Prize. I mean, I deserve it pretty much. I mean, President Obama and I have done about the same amount to bring about world peace, I think. He's given some good speeches. I've written a few columns. And, of course, what can I say? You know, this is a prize that this committee gave, this Nobel Peace Prize Committee. It's not clear to me it speaks for the world. It speaks for 5 Norwegians. They gave it to Kofi Annan and the UN in December of 2001, right after 9/11. With all due respect to Kofi Annan and the UN, what have they done in the preceding decade? Presided over genocide in Rwanda, not intervened in Bosnia. President Clinton had to intervene without UN sanction, had an oil for food scandal, other kinds of sexual trafficking scandals. And they gave it to them because they wanted to send a signal. We're not giving it to the firefighters and the people who rescued people on 9/11. We're not giving it to anyone who intervened in Afghanistan in a universally acclaimed mission to remove a horrible Taliban government that was sheltering al-Qaeda. So this is an anti-American committee. They've now given the prize to President Obama. And I think he should have refused it respectfully, but I think the second best thing would be to go over and give a pro-American speech on December 10th. Well, President Obama himself said in answer to a question in Europe, I think earlier this year, when asked about American exceptionalism, well, I believe in American exceptionalism just the way the British believe in British exceptionalism and the Greeks believe in Greek exceptionalism. So I don't think he's a believer in it in the way that perhaps some of previous American presidents have been. On the other hand, I don't think President Obama is so foolish as not to realize that American, and he's said this a couple of times, that American military power and might is the single most important contributor to peace and to freedom in the world. And he hinted at this in a statement on Friday. He made a reference to our brave soldiers who were fighting. So I don't think he shares entirely. I hope he does not entirely share the point of view of the Nobel Peace Prize Committee.
Wow, so well said, I think. And I do agree, and I think both of them realize as well, Liz Cheney and Bill Kristol, that Obama was just as stunned as everybody else. And then, of course, it's how you play it out. And you heard what Obama said at the top of the show. Now he's going to go to Oslo. I thought, actually, Liz Cheney's suggestion was a great one, a brilliant one. Send the mother of a dead soldier over there, or actually you could send a couple of mothers over and express the whole idea about fighting and da-da-da-da. But that's not going to happen. It's going to be Obama that goes over for it. Well, it was a big weekend in D.C., too. I'll mention this. There was a gay rights supporter parade, if you will, or a march, tens of thousands from the White House to the Capitol on Sunday, demanding that Obama keep his promises, because on the list of promises, you know, he's kind of like Santa Claus, and now people are waiting to be gifted, and they have not been gifted. So the people that have voted for Obama are disappointed, including a lot of gay people who voted for Obama, because he promised to allow gays to serve openly in the military. In other words, repeal, don't ask, don't tell. That hasn't happened so far. And then he really pushed on the end of discrimination, just flat out doing whatever he could to try, as the president of the United States, the best to let that fall by the wayside. So you had Julian Bond, who's the chairman of the NAACP, who spoke. He was one of the keynote guys, and he talked about the civil rights movement and gay rights struggle being very similar, and that they should be, the people that are gay and lesbian should be free from discrimination, and there should be equality. And in fact, he went as far to say, because remember Prop 8 in California, a lot of black folks were the ones who ended up taking away the marriage deal in California, and he specifically said, Bond, that black people of all people should not oppose equality, and that is what marriage is all about. We have a lot of real and serious problems in this country, and same-sex marriage is not one of them. You might have some thoughts. You can send them to americatonight.net.